I want to welcome each one this morning to our church, to our Children's Day services, and we pray the Lord will bless you and he'll speak to you even through the ministry of the boys and girls here this morning. I'm going to call upon Elsie Rainey to come and welcome us to the service this morning.
Church today, and hope that we shall see you on every Sabbath day. We come to learn of Jesus, his teachings to obey. Oh, may you learn to love him while in our church today. We give you loving welcome to our dear church today, and hope that we shall see you on every Sabbath day. So now we give you welcome to our dear church today, and hope that we shall see you on every Sabbath day.
Thank Elsie for singing to us and welcome us to the service this morning. We're all going to sing together hymn 691 as our opening hymn. 691, Jesus is our shepherd. His the voice we hear, folded in his bosom. What have we to fear? We'll stand and worship the Lord after the introduction, please. Ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Let's seek his face together. Our gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, We bow humbly and reverently before thee this morning. We give thee thanks, Lord, for this new day and for every blessing you have bestowed upon us already today. We thank you, Lord, most of all for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, we come to a place where we will hear the truth about the soul of men and women, boys and girls. We'll hear about a Savior who can redeem our precious soul. And we thank you, Lord, we'll hear about a heaven that's prepared for those who love Christ. And we pray, Lord, this morning that you will help each one who will take part in this service. We thank you for the children. Thank you, Lord, for so many children gathered here. And we pray for each one, Lord, individually. We pray, Lord, you'll speak to them. And while early in life, they will come to know Christ as their own and personal Savior. We pray, Lord, you'll give them a deep and strong faith. And, Lord, take them on with thyself. And we do pray, Lord, that even this morning as they stand up in front of this congregation, that, Lord, you'll take away any nerves or fears. And, Lord, you just give that peace, Lord, and give the ability to do what they've been called to do to the glory of thy name. Lord, we pray as parents and friends look upon the little children. And, Lord, as they hear the truths of the gospel coming from their lips, we pray, Lord, you'll even touch their heart today. Pray, well, Lord, you'll soften the heart of sinners today, and that even in this children's day we'll hear of men and women and boys and girls coming to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the children who are saved. Lord, bless them and their service for thee. And Lord, save those who are not. We pray, Lord, for Sunday school teachers. We thank you for them for a year of faithful labor. And we pray, Lord, that they will even see fruit for their labor. Thank you, Lord, for Roy and Kathleen, Lord, and the leadership of this work. And we pray, Lord, you'll give them wisdom. And Lord, that even this day they will see, Lord, the fruit of their labor and the answers to their prayers. Even, Lord, in this special day in our congregation. Remember, Lord, little babies born recently into this congregation. Lord, babies recently dedicated, Lord. We pray for those families too. They'll be brought up in the fear, the admonition of the Lord. And Lord, that we'll hear of households professing faith in Christ and the last of the family members being drawn in. Bless us this day, we pray. Help us, Lord, to proclaim the message of the gospel. Give us ears to hear. And Lord, bless this service with thy presence. We ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Now, in our Sunday school, we endeavour to have a theme as regards our Children's Day. And the theme this year, of course, the Saviour is always a theme because the Lord Jesus Christ is the very centre of our worship. But we're thinking about the Lord Jesus being the good shepherd and the gentle shepherd and the great shepherd of his sheep. And so therefore we're going to commence now with a solo, and we're going to ask Leah to come, and she's going to sing for us, Carried on the Shoulder of the Shepherd.
Jesus was the shepherd true that found me when I wandered like a straying sheep. On his mighty shoulder then he placed me. Safely there my soul he'll ever keep. Carried on the shoulders of the shepherd, no more on the mountains will I roam. Carried on the shoulders of the shepherd, safely will I reach my home sweet home. There's no danger that can now affright me. I will rest secure whate'er betides. And his peace has filled my heart o'erflowing. There my soul forever will abide. Carried on the shoulders of the shepherd, no more on the mountains will I roam. Carried on the shoulders of the
the shepherd. Safely will I reach my home, sweet home. Nothing in myself such love could merit. All of grace's blessings full and free. Oh, the wonder of his boundless mercy. For a worthless sinful soul like me. Carried on the shoulders of the shepherd, no more on the mountains will I roam. Carried on the shoulders of the shepherd, safely will I reach my home, sweet home. Carried on the shoulders of the shepherd, no more on the mountains will I roam. Carried on the shoulders of the shepherd, safely will I reach my home, sweet home.
Leah, thank God the Savior will carry us, and praise the Lord, he'll bring us safely home on that great day. Now we're going to have a recitation. Epi's going to recite for us the 23rd Psalm. Epi.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Lovely, and it's good to teach the children. As from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now we're going to have some choruses from the boys and girls and young people of the Sabbath school.
What?
ministering to us those beautiful choruses concerning and hymns concerning the Lord Jesus as the shepherd. And now we're going to have a recitation. And of course, if we are to get to heaven, we're not only to know about the shepherd, we need to put our faith and trust in the shepherd. And so therefore, I'm going to call upon Carter, Anna, Sophie, Abigail, Ollie, Alex, and Matthew. And of course, their subject is faith.
The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear."
Faith. F is for faith. Faith is to believe when you cannot see. Will you then receive Jesus now to be your own Saviour, Lord and King? He will make your heart to sing.
A is for all who come today Jesus will receive. Will you come and say, "Lord, I do believe"? From your burden be relieved, because the Saviour you receive.
I am very small, only 6 years old. Jesus loves us all, dearly we are told. That is why he came to save and give us hope beyond the grave.
T is for trust. Trust in him today. Ask him to forgive. Take your sins away. Help you now to live. If you let the Savior in, he will cleanse your heart from sin.
H is for happy. Happy you will be if you trust today. Joyful, glad and free, singing all the way. Trust the Saviour's precious word. Take him as your friend and Lord.
The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him."
The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God."
Praise the Lord. And hearing by the word of God. Praise the Lord. And of course, that's so important that we get it. Now we're going to come to the word of God. And we'll get your Bibles open, because Reese is going to read to us from Isaiah chapter 40. Reese, come and read the scriptures, please. And that is the 40th chapter, the book of Isaiah. Get your Bibles open as the word is read.
Our reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof it is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Reese, for rereading the Word of God. Now we're going to have the junior group, and we have them just straight away, and they're going to sing for us Our Shepherd. Our Shepherd. That's the junior group. Indeed, those are certainly good voices blended together, praising the Lord concerning the shepherd, the theme indeed of our Sabbath school today. Thank you very much indeed. That is the junior group of the Sabbath school. And now as they're making their way down, we're going to come to a singing group of young ladies, and we're going to call upon Lucy, Mia, Emily, Natalie, Charlene and Ellen, and they're going to sing for us, His Yoke Is Easy. we come to the offering, but before you do the offering, just hold on a second. There's always a collection speech, and we're going to call upon Jonathan to bring us the collection speech at this time. Jonathan.
We're so glad you've come here to Calvary Free for this special time of the year. Our Children's Day means such a lot to us, and your presence today brings us cheer. Our Sabbath school teachers faithfully teach us each week the story of God's love for man. And now it's our turn to deliver the word, and we'll do it to the best that we can. The gospel of Christ tells us of grace so supreme, changing lives of mankind great and small. For we all are sinners, condemned in our sin, and it happened through Adam's great fall. The boys and the girls of this church on the hill have practiced so hard just for you. So sit back and listen to all that we say, for the message we bring is so true. Our precious Lord Jesus came here from heaven above to redeem fallen sinners like me. He loved us so much, never counting the cost, that he shed his own blood on the tree. It's not easy to stand up and face such a crowd. We feel nervous lest we miss the lines. But we'll say all our verses and we'll sing our sweet hymns, praying God writes his word on your minds. Now our boys have a task to perform at this time, to collect silent offerings from you. Well, just remember to give to the work of the Lord. Don't be mingy. Paper money will do. As they pass round the plates, sweetly smile as you give. Cheerful givers will always be blessed. This is promised by God, and his word never fails. Do your part, let the Lord do the rest. Pray the children you see here on this Children's Day will give Jesus the rest of their days. May they know God's salvation and seek his sweet will, know his presence and walk in his ways. Once again, thanks for coming to the Church on the Hill. Please come back, for every Sabbath we're here. Take the Lord as your Saviour, and then you can say, come what may, life or death, I've no fear. God bless you all, till we meet again.
Thank you very much indeed, Jonathan, for giving us that recitation, collection speech. And now we're going to have the collection hymn, and a 689. 689. Let's sing together the words of this.
Thank you.
continue with Holly, who's going to minister to us in song and going to sing "He Shall Gather the Lambs." Holly.
Shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. In his bosom they shall be ever safely shielded from all harm. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Oh, how precious the promise to me. Shepherd kind, how blessed. Shall gather the lambs with his arm of love. He shall gather the lambs, shall gather the lambs with his arm. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. All the death of his infinite love. Guide us, wonderful shepherd, safe into thy fold above. He shall gather the lambs, shall gather the lambs with his arm of love. He shall gather the
much indeed for ministering to us, Holly, that beautiful piece, "He Shall Gather the Lambs." So now we have a recitation, and Lauren is going to recite "The Good Shepherd." The Good Shepherd.
The Good Shepherd. The way was rough and dark, and the wind blew bleak and cold, and I, a foolish lamb, had wandered from the fold. No shelter could I find, nor place of refuge see, until the shepherd kind in love came after me. He heard my bleatings far upon the mountain way. He knew the barren path in which my feet would stray. And so the shepherd kind had left the other sheep, the wanderer to find and in his safety keep. The pasture sweet and green I in my folly left, for rugged walks unseen and dark valleys in between. But soon the shepherd's call came ringing soft and clear. I heard the safer's voice and knew that he was near. Quickly he stretched his arm and drew me to his side, where safe from every harm, in peace I can abide. The shepherd good and true, who found me in distress, is seeking now for you in life's dark wilderness.
Thank you very much indeed. It's good to have a good memory, isn't it? And now we're going to have the, thank you very much indeed, Lauren. And now we're going to have the second group of choruses. Let's hear you really sing with all your heart.
Pastures bear so wondrously fine.
for those lovely choruses. And could I say to the boys and girls, please remember 6:30 sharp over in the complex tonight. That's important for you to be here in good time for the evening service. And that's at then 7 o'clock. But 6:30, boys and girls, be here. Now we're going to have a girls group. And Lucy, Jolene, Chloe, and Naomi. And they're going to sing Shepherd of Love. I'll stay by thy side. And now we're going to call upon, thank you very much indeed, ladies, and now we're going to have a musical item, and Jemima and Susanna are going to play for us, and the tune of Saviour, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Thank God for the leading and the guiding of the Lord through our lives. Now I'm going to ask the senior group to come and some of the young ladies from the Bible class, and they're going to sing "The Lord's My Shepherd." Indeed, the senior group for ministering to us, "The Lord's My Shepherd." Now we usually sometimes, preachers say right now, boys and girls, we're going to come to the Word, and so everybody sit up. I'm going to say, mummies and daddies, big people, sit up and listen, because the boys and girls do sit up and listen. And we're going to have Andrew is going to bring us God's precious Word, and related our brothers come to minister God's Word, brothers.
It's good to be here this morning to bring the lesson to my own home congregation. I'd also like to thank Roy for the invitation. I'd like to thank Roy for giving me a night's sleep like the king in Esther chapter 6 verse 1. You can read that when you go home. Let's just say it was a sleepless night for the king. It was a sleepless night last night for me. But it's a privilege to come and to bring the lesson, not only to the boys and girls, but all those that have gathered in the house of the Lord. And just like to say, that was a tremendous program put together that blessed and ministered my own soul. And I trust that even the teachers will be encouraged, and even the presence of me standing in the pulpit would be an encouragement to you to think what the Lord can do with some of those little ones sitting beside you even this morning. Before we bring the lesson, I'm going to seek the Lord in a word of prayer
and asked him for his help and to give his aid as I bring the lesson. Our God, our Father, we come and bow humbly and reverently in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, O Father, that you would send thy Spirit and that Christ would be magnified. We thank thee, Father, for the one who is the shepherd of the sheep. And we pray it may be by his Spirit today that he will be seeking out a lost and a wandering sheep. We pray, Father, that you would grant it. We ask for a meeting at thy right hand, O God. We're looking to thee for a new thing, O Heavenly Father. And now I ask that you would infill me with God, the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, that you would find me a clean vessel. And I pray that I would be an instrument in thine hand. I pray for those that are not saved, boys and girls and visitors. I pray that you will take away the contentment of sin. Be a change, O Father, in their heart. They would fear and they would tremble. That coldness that there is towards thee and thy truth and thy word and thy house would be taken away, and that you'll warm their hearts. And Lord, at the end of the day, that the man at thy right hand would receive all the honor and glory that is due to him alone. For we pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Now, when I was at school, boys and girls and mums and dads, there were some subjects I really liked. Now, I really like to have to say, well, PE, that's an obvious one for all the boys. Everyone likes PE. You don't have to study for that. There's no exams for PE. And you've always a good time when you're out playing football or rugby, whatever the sport may be. But I also loved geography. And I liked biology, because that was as close to outside as you got when you were in the classroom. But there's some subjects I hated when I was at school. And I'm sure you're the same as me. One subject I hated was English. I was terrible at English, terrible at spelling, hated reading books. But then there's another subject I thought was extremely boring. The most boring subject you could ever sit and listen to in class, and it's history. I hated history. I thought to myself, why would I ever want to listen to things that happened so many years ago? What's that got to do with me? What do I care about all those things? You know, boys and girls, I've actually come to love history. A famous man once said that those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And the Bible teaches us that God, he is the God of history. You see, some people think that God's maybe just like a clockmaker or a watchmaker. And at the beginning, he made everything and he wound it all up and he set everything running. And, well, everything just happens and works out itself. But you know, God is not a God like that. He is the God of history. In fact, one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the key to all of history. He is called the Alpha and Omega. Christ is the beginning and the end of all creation and all history. And this world, it does not happen by chance or by accident, but every single thing is planned by God. We serve and worship a sovereign God. And everything is planned by God. And that's why it's good to look back at history. Because history, we can learn what God did through special men. And we can take encouragement and we can think, well, God can do that with us. And this morning and this evening, in the will of God, I want to think about a man from history. A man that we can learn from, a man that we can look at and see a wonderful example of what God can do with an individual. Now, this man was born on the 10th of November, 1483. Now, I want some of the boys and girls to try and guess the name of his father. I'm going to give you a clue. Does anyone think they might guess the name of his father? Does anyone know? There's a boy there. What? Hans, yes, Hans was his father, and his mother was called Margaret. And this little boy was born in Germany. But
But you know, this little boy was born like every single one of us. He was born a sinner. He was born a sinner with a sinful heart. And each one of us are born as sinners, and we are rebels to God. That's why each one of us have broken God's law. Because we are born with a sinful heart, because the day that Adam sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, this little boy was born a sinner, and you were born a sinner, and I was born a sinner, and that's why we break God's law. And that's a problem for us all. Because God is a good God. And God is a holy God, and God must, and God will always punish our sin. I want everyone to remember that God never, never passes by sin. God deals with every single one of our sins. Either Christ on the cross, he takes the punishment for your sin, or else if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, you yourself personally will take the punishment for your sin. God can never and will never overlook sin. Well, this little boy, he was born into a home, and his father was called Hans, and his mother was called Margaret, and he decided to call this little boy Martin. Martin was this little boy's name. Now, Martin's dad was a miner. And Martin's dad, he went down into the mines, and he mined for, well, this stuff that makes 2p's. Does anyone know what's the metal you use? Yes. Not bronze. It's actually maybe a mixture of bronze and something else. Michael? Copper, yes. Martin's dad was a copper miner. And it was dangerous and dirty and dark down in the mines. And Hans didn't want Martin to be a miner. Hans didn't want his son to be down digging in the ground, getting this copper out of the mine, because it was such dirty work. Hans wanted his son to get a good education. And so Hans sent his son Martin to university when he turned 18. And Martin went to university. And there, for the first time at university, he encountered the Word of God. At 18 years of age, he found a copy of the Bible in the university library. And Martin's favorite story was that story of Samuel and God's call to Samuel. And Martin would often go to the library and pick up the Word of God and read the stories in God's Word. And that was Martin's first encounter with the Word of God. But Martin Luther, he graduated from university. Now, I don't think I'll get one of these if I come out of the Whitfield. But Martin Luther, he graduated and got his degree from university. And you know, Hans was really proud of his son. And you know, boys and girls and mums and dads, it's not wrong to have a good education. And it's not wrong that your boys and girls, they go on and get a good job and maybe get a nice house and a nice car. And Hans was really proud of his son. But Hans had little concern for his son's soul. His son's soul. See, Martin was not a Christian. And Hans had no great concern that his son would become a Christian. And maybe you're like Hans today. Maybe you're a parent, and yes, it's good that your child comes along to Sunday school, but really, for your child, the most important thing is they get a good education and get on well in life. But you know, the Bible tells me what the most important thing is. It's the soul of your child. For the Bible says in Mark chapter 8, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Yes, you have a great concern maybe for your child's education, but what about your child's soul? It's the most important thing. Well, what was Martin going to do with his life? Well, he was quite a smart lad, so he thought, I'm going to go back to university and I'm going to study law. I want to be a lawyer. So off Martin went to university again in the city of Wittenberg. And one summer he was going home to visit his parents. And he was coming back from his parents' house. And suddenly the storm clouds began to roll in. And the skies got dark and black and heavy with rain. And he heard the thunder rumbling. And Martin was making his way back to his university. And fear started to grip his heart. And the lightning started to flash. And all of a sudden, a large lightning bolt came out of the sky. And it nearly hit Martin Luther. And he cried out in his fear. He said, "Saint Anne, help me and I will become a monk." He was afraid to die. He was afraid to meet his God. And I wonder, boys and girls, mums and dads, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto us once to die. And I wonder, are you afraid to meet God? Are you afraid to stand before God in the judgment? Yes, it's good you have knowledge about God. And it's good that you know verses from the Bible and you can sing hymns. But I wonder, are you afraid to meet God? You see, the most important thing is that you have a relationship with God. The most important thing is that you are saved and that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. See, Martin Luther had no peace in his heart. Peace with God. And I wonder, little one, have you peace with God? Wonder, older person, have you peace with God? Are you walking in fellowship with the Lord? This morning, did you get up and speak to the Lord Jesus Christ? Did the Lord Jesus Christ speak to you through the Word? Are you in fellowship with God? It's not about knowledge. It's about a relationship. Now, Martin Luther was spared that day. And it wasn't Saint Anne that saved him, for the Bible tells us in Job 28 and verse 26 that God, he makes a way for the lightning. Remember what I said, God plans everything, even the path of the lightning. And God spared Martin Luther that day. Now what would Martin Luther do? Would he think, well, I've been spared, and well, I don't fancy becoming a monk now. No. He kept to his word and he became a monk. Now I'm about to give you a vision of my future. Okay? So Martin Luther, he went into university at Wittenberg to become a monastery, sorry. And Martin Luther became a monk. I always say this is giving Alana a vision of her future with me. Or it's maybe a vision of 50 years of ministry, sorry. But Martin Luther became a monk. And you think, why did he become a monk? Because he had no peace with God. And do you know what he started to do? He started to try and please God with his good works. Martin Luther, he tried to please God because he knew he was a sinner in God's sight. And he tried to please God by doing many religious good works. Martin Luther, for hours on time, would go to other priests. And for maybe 5 hours, Martin Luther would confess his sins to another man. But the Bible tells us that's foolish. We're to confess our sins to God. Martin Luther would go for hours without food, trying to please a holy God. But still he had no peace with God. Martin Luther would take a whip and whip his back until his back would be bleeding so he could try and please a holy God, but he had no peace with God. See, Martin Luther, something troubled him. And it was a phrase from the Word of God, and it's this phrase, the righteousness of God. And in the monastery, Martin Luther got a vision of the holiness of God, of God's perfection, of God's glory and God's splendor. And Martin Luther realized he could never, never reach the standard that God wanted man to reach. And this brought Martin Luther into such despair. In fact, it broke his soul. And you know what he turned around and said? He said, I hated God. I hated God. Do you know why? Because the Holy God showed Martin Luther his sinful heart. Boys and girls, mums and dads, those that are not saved, you need a vision of a holy God. You need the righteousness of God to grip your heart and realize that all your good deeds, all your good living, all your good efforts, maybe boys and girls, all your learning of the catechism, it is not enough to please a holy God. And Martin Luther was in the depths of despair, but he was only fulfilling the word of God, for the Bible tells us in Galatians 2:16 that by the flesh that no man shall be justified before God. Well, what was Martin Luther going to do? Well, a great opportunity opened up for Martin Luther. He was able to go to the holy city, Rome. And while he was going to Rome, he thought, you know, I'll be able to do so many religious works. And then I'll be able to please God. And then I'll have peace with God. And so off he set for the city of Rome with his friend. And as he got there, Martin Luther indulged in all the religious exercises that he could do. But when he got to Rome, you know what he found out? He thought while in Rome, and he looked at the popes and the bishops and the archbishops, he would see men that are in fellowship with God, in touch with God, holy men. But you know what he saw when he went to Rome? Wickedness, vileness, immorality. And this brought him even deeper into despair. You see, in the monastery, God had showed Luther the sinfulness of his own heart. And in Rome, God showed Martin Luther the sinfulness of man-made religion. And maybe that's all you have. A man-made religion. You do your good works, even churchianity. And maybe, boys and girls, you're like Martin Luther. Well, you might think, well, oh, I'm not a Roman Catholic. But you can be a Protestant and lost. You can come to this church and do so many good works, like learning your lessons and learning the catechism, bowing your head when it prays, and still have no peace with God. Well, you're just like Martin Luther. So off he went to Wittenberg, so downcast and low. But you know, Martin Luther had started to read the Bible. And he came to a wonderful portion in God's Word in Romans chapter 1 and the verse number 17. Let's read the Word of God. Here's a man down deep in despair, no hope, no peace with God. Romans 1, verse 17, and he read this here, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Revealed. And he thought about that word, revealed. And suddenly it dawned on Martin Luther's mind and heart that this righteousness of God, it is find alone in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God the Son that is revealed unto man. And Jesus Christ is the only one that has never broken God's law. He's the only one that's met God's standard. Jesus Christ, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, he is the righteousness of God. And Martin Luther thought about Christ. And he thought about the one that came and died on the cross. And he thought, well, why did he die on the cross? If he is the one without sin, if he is the only one that is righteous, why did he die on the cross? And it broke upon his soul. And then he realized, Christ died for me. Jesus Christ died for me. And then it says in the end of that verse, the just shall live by faith, not by works. And Martin Luther realized that if he wanted to have peace with God, to be saved, that he must simply trust Jesus Christ. And that's what he did. In August 1515, Martin Luther put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Martin Luther was saved that day, and he had peace with God. And the Bible tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I come back to that question. Everyone gathered here this morning, have you peace with a holy God? Or do you fear death and judgment? Martin Luther was saved. That day he said, it was as if the gates of heaven were opened to me and it became a paradise, and I was born again of the Spirit of God. And I like to finish with an illustration. How was Luther made righteous in God's sight? How can sinners, yes, you and I, how can you and I be made righteous in God's sight? Luther found out it wasn't by good works. He said of himself that he nearly killed himself with his monkery. He indulged in it that much. He almost beat himself to death to try and please God. Luther found out it was by faith. Now, what does that mean? How can I illustrate that? Well, I'll have to derobe, and maybe Wesley will have to cut this tie, Mike. And I've showed some of the children this before. But this is what it is to be saved, to be righteous in God's sight. You see, Luther, like the rest of us, was born into this world as a sinner. In the rags of his sin, in the filth of his sin. And Revelation tells me that nothing that defileth, no unclean thing, spiritually unclean thing, that's you, sinner, will enter heaven. And Luther, by his monkery, he tried to clean the rags of his sin. And he realized he couldn't. But then he realized the righteousness of God revealed. He realized that Christ came and Christ lived a perfect life without sin, without fault. And if Luther would put his faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did, he would have Christ's righteousness imputed or given to him. And so, by faith, Luther, he gave his sin to Christ. And Christ took the punishment for his sin. And the Bible tells me that when a sinner turns from her sin and trusts in Christ, God does something with your sin. He throws it behind his back. And that's wonderful. But then unto us that are saved and trusting in Christ, God gives us to our account the perfect life of Christ. What a wonderful thing. You and I don't have to work for salvation. Christ has lived the life and died the death, and so the free gift is given. The perfect life of Christ is given to you. And God looks at you and me. He sees not our sin, but he sees the life of Christ. What a wonderful salvation. It's freely offered. It's freely offered for those that will turn and trust in Jesus Christ. I wonder if you received that free gift. Maybe still trying to do the best you can. Attend a certain church. Live a good and moral life. Well, remember what I said. A man is not justified by the works of the flesh, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now tonight, the story doesn't end there. Salvation, it doesn't end just when someone comes to faith in Christ. No, God was going to use a monk to shake the world. Boys and girls, mums and dads, save the Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. I believe that Martin Luther was the greatest man that ever walked this earth. For God took a monk and God changed this world. And the reason why you have school, and the reason why we have government, and the reason why we have hospitals, and the reasons why we have scientific discovery is because God took a man, Martin Luther, and he brought the nation and the world back to the Bible. He shook the world. A little insignificant monk in the country, in the nation of Germany. Boys and girls, God can do that with you. God can take you to shake the world and to bring the world back to the book of God. Remember, first, you need to be saved and trust in Christ and all that he has done. Amen.
Here are the words of that hymn, "It is no secret what God can do." What he did with Martin Luther, thank God he can do through you if you'll come and trust him. I'm going to ask Abigail to finish our Children's Day morning service. I'm going to sing "Seeking for the Lost."
Over mountain, hill, and plain, in the sunshine and the rain.
by day.
Thank you very much indeed. Hear the tender shepherd calling day by day, and he's calling you. Have you wandered far from God? The hymn writer said, I've wandered far away from God, but next line is, Lord, I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the words that we've been listening to this morning. We thank thee, our God, that thou canst take any one of these young boys or girls in this Sabbath school today that have been ministering to us in song and recitation. And O God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, thou canst take them up and use them, for thou art God alone. And I pray in Jesus' precious name that thou wilt, Lord, while young in life, bring the last one of these boys and girls to Christ. Save them. And O God, not only save them for eternity, but save them from a life of sin. And then use them for the glory and the honor of thy name. We pray in Jesus' precious name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.